We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Hope your Wednesday is off to a wonderful start. On today's show, we're going to explore Wisconsin and Milwaukee's arts and cultural priorities. Look at the business behind it all, the economic impact, the community impact. Let me touch a little bit on education and innovation. You know, such a big commerce and community puzzle to solve, right? But one that if it's solved correctly, it really helps power our entire state forward on so many levels. There are a lot of good groups doing really good work, and there's opportunities in corporate budgets, within governmental budgets, to help power progress. But I think sometimes when you look at funding the arts and creativity and entrepreneurism and film and more, I think maybe we have blinders on and we have like too many legacy issues on our mind. Sometimes there's groups and institutions that, you know, get too territorial and say, hey, we do this, you do that. Sometimes funding priorities get a little out of whack or there's just not enough funding. So maybe you need to bring in an outside perspective, right? Randy Cohen is the Vice President of Research at Americans for the Arts, the nation's leading arts advocacy organization. He's going to join us in studio. Christine Hanaki, the new executive director at Imagine NKE, and Ann Katz from Create Wisconsin. All three are going to be in the studio this morning. Some big items in the state budget that we're going to go over. Some big meetings happening yesterday in Madison. So we'll give you an update as to the state of the creative economy in and around the state of Wisconsin. But first, as we do each and every morning, I got two things you need to know about right now. So we do two up.
Now it's time for the
two
up on the Upswing.
So this is a really good item for this time of year. What grade, as you're out and about driving, what grade would you give your local roads, your local water, your local bridges? Every 4 years, a report card comes up on the upkeep of America's infrastructure. The report comes from the American Society of Civil Engineers. It came out yesterday, and it gave a global grade of C, up slightly from previous reports, mainly due to a lot of the investments that were made over the last 4 to 8 years. But the 2025 grades range from a B to ports, from a D to stormwater and transit. And for the first time since 1998, no report cards in the infrastructure report card were rated D-. So that's a good thing, right? But there are 18 categories: energy D+, schools D+, public parks C-, transit a D. Obviously, a lot of work needs to continue to be done in the infrastructure space. On the road side, just a friendly reminder, you're in downtown Milwaukee. If you're in the city of Milwaukee, you can easily report potholes and other street maintenance problems. All you have to do is call the Unified City Call Center. It's 414-286-CITY, or you can submit something, or you can submit an online service request, or just download the MKE Mobile Action app. You can say, hey, there's a pothole here, there's a light out here. It's up to us as citizens to make sure that the government knows where we need repairs. Second up, a fun item here, Brew City Kringle. If you want to be that office hero or that big-time breakfast dad or mom at home, the Brewers open in New York tomorrow. The big home opener is Monday. And to celebrate, O&H Danish Bakery in Racine this week unveiled its Brewer Lemon Blueberry Kringle. It's a limited edition flavor. It's only available in their 5 locations across southeastern Wisconsin, only in stores, only through April 6th. It has kind of this bright tart lemon cake, blueberry filling. It's frosted, some blue and yellow sprinkles. And as I always do, I want to make sure you know how much this is going to cost. $13. and 95 cents. Go get your Brew Crew Kringle. Good stuff. Get your morning off and running. Coming up next, I got a couple of business of sports items before we dive into the creative economy in the state. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Gruber Law Offices Thanalysis Live is back March 29th at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. You can join Thanasis Antetokounmpo for a live show that's going to entertain fans like none other. Last year, Thanasis surprised with the MVP, his brother Giannis Antetokounmpo, a surprise appearance from ESPN's Stephen A. Smith. So you never know what Thanasis has planned for 2025. March 29th at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Thanalysis Live with Thanasis Antetokounmpo. You can get your tickets to Gruber Law Office's Thanalysis Live right now. All you have to do is visit taliveshow.com to get your tickets. Excitement, entertainment, you can't get anywhere else. It's Gruber Law Office's Thanalysis Live presented by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and Carbliss, featuring Brandon Jennings and a surprise guest, and much more, also supported by the Prisoner Wine Company and McDonald's. TA Show. TALiveShow.com. TALiveShow.com goes right to the ticket link. Easy to buy tickets. Get them delivered instantly to your phone. Speaking of sports, speaking of business, I got a couple items that you need to know about. I saw this yesterday. That sportswear company Under Armour is back in the NFL game, and it's partnered once again with the National Football League, signing a deal to be the official provider of shoes and gloves for the league. And the company paused its NFL partnership in 2020, kind of amid what a lot of companies were doing at that time, some cost cutting and pushbacks, and it reallocated their marketing dollars. And now they're back in the game with sponsored players who were previously required to cover the brand's logo on the field. Not anymore. Under Armour is going to be back on NFL fields this coming year. A big component of this marketing deal, and it's always interesting to dive into these deals that brands do with leagues, Under Armour is going to have access to all NFL media platforms, all of their content creators, all of their distribution channels, and they can further collaborate on content and initiatives for both on-field and in-game exposure. So these deals are more than just, hey, here's a bunch of money, we want opportunity. It's about that integration into content and all the media exposure that brands get, especially with huge brands like the NFL. Retail-wise, it's about sales too, right? The Under Armour NFL, the Under Armour football cleats are $110. The gloves, if you have a son or granddaughter playing football, everyone wants those gloves because they're so apparent. We're watching games on TV. Those aren't cheap. Retail, $45. So watch for a whole lot more Under Armour on the NFL fields this coming year. On the baseball diamond, if you want to buy a bar very close to American Family Field, if you got an extra $1.1 million on hand, the opportunity is here for you. Rounding Third is a baseball-themed bar. It's right on 63rd and Blue Mound. Saw this yesterday on Lakeside Realtors' website. Call it an amazing opportunity to own and operate a successful and turnkey bar and grill with a banquet hall in a phenomenal location near American Family Field. So this strip, if you've been to a Brewers game lately, and hopefully you got your tickets for opening day on Monday, but you have a lot of sports bars on Blue Mound, right? You have Dugout 54, you have Magoo's on the Mound, you have Kelly's Bleachers, places, legacy institutions that have been there forever. Now, hey, it's time for the owner on 63rd and Blue Mound at Rounding Third to move on. He's looking for a new buyer, a new operator. Just pulling some of the data here. The assessed total value of this space, While the sale price is $1.1 million, the total assessed value is $624,000. The land at about $25,000. The assessed value of the, including the improvements on the building itself, you're looking at about $599,000. So $1.1 million buys you a Brewers bar and gets you in the game. I'm always fascinated with how the bars on game day do. We'll have some more on that tomorrow, especially as we head into opening day. So much activity, the shuttles, the specials, just the increased energy. And hey, baseball is back, and that is a beautiful thing. Coming up next, we're going to explore the world of creativity and entrepreneurship across the state. Imagine MKE, Create Wisconsin, and Americans for the Arts, a little roundtable discussion about what's in the state budget, what's possible, what are the benefits, and what's the role of government, what's the role of business in powering creativity in our state. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Creativity, entrepreneurship, music, the arts, film, and much more, all so important as we power commerce and community forward in the state of Wisconsin. A pleasure to be joined by an expert panel this morning in studio. He's still new, right, Christine? Imagine MKE Executive Director Christine Hanaki, Create Wisconsin's Executive Director Ann Katz, and the Vice President of Research for Americans for the Arts, Randy Cohen. Thank you all for being here. I know you're busy taking the time to be here. I truly appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. So, Randy, you're visiting for a keynote and had a bunch of legislative visits in Madison yesterday. I guess I just kind of want to level set on the topic as a whole to begin and just give us a brief overview of the state of the arts and culture in America and kind of why it's so critical for not only Wisconsin, but the states to continue to dive in on the issue.
You know, arts and culture is absolutely central to our humanity. You talked about it, creativity, you know, expression. And these days in a world that can feel divided, you know, the arts don't just entertain us, but they connect us and inspire us and bring us joy. And the public actually gets this. We did a big national public opinion survey that we published several months ago. 76% of Americans say arts are an important part of their lives, central to their lives. And yet, at the same time, just 51% of the population says everyone in my community has the opportunity to participate and engage in arts and culture. The public really understands what the arts bring to our lives. 86% say, yeah, the arts improve livability of our community, and that makes a lot of sense. We expect that quality of life. But 79% say, for example, that arts are good for the local economy, good for local jobs, good for local businesses. 9 out of 10 people say every child should be receiving a quality arts education in this country.
Yeah, it seems to be, and I'm using the word issue, it's not an issue. You know, it's an opportunity, but it seems to be one of those opportunities that both sides of the political coin can come together on. But on the national level, you kind of see the disbanding of the President's Committee on the Arts and Humanities. You have a flurry of executive orders. And, you know, people are thinking, all right, you know, when it comes to kind of President Trump 2.0 and the arts impact on the micro and macro levels, maybe people are a little tepid, a little fearful. Do you sense that on a national level, Randy?
Yes, and I would say that's not even just for the arts these days. I think there's a lot of uncertainty there. And there's still a lot to understand about where this is going. You know, there's a lot of executive orders. A lot of things are tied up in the courts these days. And, yeah, there is much to understand. But, you know, again, here's what the public understands. It's making them feel healthier. It's improving their well-being. But people are concerned about public support for the arts. Interesting, you know, and the National Endowment for the Arts, you know, that's the federal funding agency here in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Arts Board. And, you know, our local and cities and counties also support the arts. And that support is just vital to leveraging the private sector, businesses, foundations, individuals. And so, you know, the public sector, a lot of times the first one in the trenches.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps the arts accessible to everyone in our communities.
We're talking with Randy Cohen, who's the Vice President of Research at Americans for Arts. Anne and Christine, when we come back from the break, we're going to kind of dive into the city and the state impacts in the next state budget and your meetings with legislators yesterday. But Randy, just kind of follow up on that point. What are you hearing on a national level in terms of responsibility? I mean, you mentioned, hey, the businesses and government both have responsibilities here. Where does that responsibility lie? Is it a collaborative thing, or is it more on the government side or more on the business side?
You know, it's both. Yeah. And it's really a complex mix of revenue sources. If you look at your typical arts organization, ticket sales and tickets to the arts, you know, in the communities here, they're not cheap, but they're affordable. Without that government and private sector funding, it would be like going to Broadway and paying a couple $100 a seat. So if you value arts as central to our humanity and who we are, we need that investment to make the arts accessible.
Very good. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Governor Tony Evers recently announced 2025-27 state budget includes several significant components for the arts and films, film and in Wisconsin, including increased arts funding. The budget proposes raising the annual funding for the Wisconsin Arts Board from approximately about $1.08 million to $4.9 million. Just one item. An event yesterday in Madison helped kind of move the ball down the field, so to speak, in terms of talking with legislators about, you know, their opportunities, maybe some of the challenges to get to where we need to be for the creative industries here in the state of Wisconsin. Ann Katz is the executive director of Create Wisconsin. It was your event yesterday, essentially, Ann, right?
Yes. So Create Wisconsin is the state's community cultural development organization. We provide advocacy service and development for everything connected with the arts, from nonprofit organizations to independent performers and artists to local government, economic development. Really, we are concerned with the Wisconsin's future and making sure that we're a creative place. So for the last more than 25 years, we've held an annual advocacy day in Madison. We definitely preach that advocacy is a daily activity to be effective. You have to build relationships. And every once in a while, it's nice to gather together to celebrate. So yesterday was I don't remember the number anymore, but we had
lots of meetings.
We had people come from Kenosha, Superior, Milwaukee, of course, Wausau, Viroqua, Green Bay, Door County, Rhinelander, from all over the state to meet each other, learn from each other, and to let their decision makers or elected representatives know what they wanted them to work on.
So as you're talking to leaders in the Capitol, what specifically are you advocating for? Are you optimistic? Were there concerns? And even, like, you know, to our first point, are there differences depending if you're a Democrat or Republican?
I'll say that everyone is concerned with keeping Wisconsin's people, organizations, businesses, and communities healthy, vibrant, making sure that people have opportunities, making sure economic and civic. And so that is not a partisan thing. Yeah. Everyone is concerned with investing in our people and our communities. And that's how we approach the advocacy, right? So we make sure that the arts are not a partisan issue. The arts are for everyone, and everyone is involved in creativity in some way. So we have a three-pronged agenda this year. More money for arts opportunities through the Wisconsin Arts Board, because Wisconsin is 48th out of 50 states at 18 cents per capita. Minnesota is over $10 per capita. Illinois is over 250, something like that. So we need to do better and have more opportunities. So that's the first thing. The second thing is our Rural Creative Economy Development Bill, which is going to provide more infrastructure around the arts. Every tourism organization, bid district, downtown group, mayor, county executive, tribe, everybody wants to have a healthy, thriving arts community because that's how you attract people to your community mm-hmm. to live, work, and play. So that's the second thing. We want to make sure that rural communities have resources. Everyone needs resources, but we want to make sure that because the arts happen everywhere in the state, that we support the arts everywhere in the state or invest in. That's really the word. And then the film office and the film incentives is the third prong. Yeah. We need a robust film industry in the state. There are lots of people making films, acting in films. There are a lot more who would like to live and work in this beautiful state.
Yeah, and some
state.
Of that businesses are going over borders to other states, right? And Christine's going to talk
said,
a little
Superior
bit about
and
that,
Duluth,
for sure.
You know. And Christine and Imagine MKE are leading the way on that, so we're working in partnership. We're really glad to have a strong regional partner.
Let me ask you quickly about the difference between rural and urban communities. What do you see there? I think it's often easier to just say, hey, the arts impact urban centers and big cities because you have the murals, the big institutions, the museums. But kind of discuss the wants and needs based on community makeup.
Everyone has the same wants and needs, really. And I have been everywhere in the state. And I can tell you that the arts are happening and are thriving, even though there's not enough money, time, or staff everywhere in the state. So Milwaukee has tons and tons of tons that are happening here. And Imagine MKE is as concerned with the rural areas around Milwaukee and the rest of the state because it's all an ecosystem. So Bayfield has I'm going to forget a lot of things, but yeah. Bayfield has the Big Top Chautauqua. Spring Green has American Players Theater. There are independent artists making art and honing their craft in every community. Actually, Wisconsin is a place where people can move from a larger place to a smaller town. They can afford to buy a house. They can send their kids to public schools. They can have a community, and they can do their work anywhere in the world, of course. They can be involved in the arts in some way. And so we're working on this on all levels to make sure, first of all, to make sure that urban and rural understand that we are all connected and that investment in the overall infrastructure mm-hmm. and the overall opportunities is really what we're going for.
All gets back to recruitment and retention. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Wisconsin, as you said, Ann, one of only four states without a film office, one of 13 that does not offer production incentives. We're going to dive into that when we come back. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, Creative Economy here in our wonderful state of Wisconsin. A wonderful expert panel joins us in studio this morning. Christine Hanaki, the Executive Director of Imagine MKE. Christine, we've talked a lot about funding to establish a Wisconsin Office of Film and Creative Industries. Is the path finally there, and how did your meetings go yesterday? Talk us through the process.
So, as Ann said, there were at Create Wisconsin Day yesterday, there were about 150 people from across the state, and there were appointments set up all day in Madison with legislators, and I attended quite a few of them, both Democrat and Republican, some senators, some representatives, some staff. Each meeting had a different, kind of a different group of people. There were a lot of people from Milwaukee, there were youth, there was first stage was there. The rep was there. So there was just a lot of representation. Additionally, Imagine MKE, who is the umbrella organization with Action Wisconsin, who is leading, it's a coalition of leaders across the state leading this effort to advocate for the film office. We had the opportunity to have one of our filmmakers with us that was from Superior, Wisconsin, and she basically, in the room, we were telling the stories why the arts and why a film office is so important. And I would say what got a lot of traction was the film office, a lot of interest in it. But the story she told was one of she had to establish an office in Duluth, Minnesota, because of the incentives. She gets work because of that. And a lot of her friends and a lot of people in that area are moving across the border because of the incentives. They're significant. There's just a lot of work there because of the incentives. So we need to change that. And so we talked to the legislators about that. And I would say it got a lot of interest in the room when we're not just talking about Milwaukee. We're not talking about big city. And that goes to what Ann was saying, too, about the statewide importance of this bill.
And my understanding, I think it's a lot of those films that are within, you know, the under $1 million budgets, you know, true creative businesses that want to power their expression forward, and they're just not finding the funding in the state. So they got to go to Minnesota. They got to go to the film offices where they're going to get some tax credits and some investment capital to power their dreams forward. And I think that's what we need to continue to do, whether it's film or entrepreneurship. Those incentives must be readily available.
Yeah. You know, and I have to say, I had the opportunity to meet with Senator Julian Bradley yesterday. And a year ago, he introduced this bill. It's a bipartisan bill. He introduced it with a couple other representatives. It was Armstrong, also in Callahan, which are also across the state. And I'm feeling really positive about it. It has traction. What I learned is that it's really about perspective, you know, and perception. We need to tell the story. What we're able to do is come in and talk about the economic impact, that story as well. It's retention of people in our community and the creative economy. Yeah. So it impacts that. Those tax incentives will impact businesses, and some people see it clearly. I'd also say for anybody that's listening, it's important to talk to your legislator. They said that's number one. The conversations we're having are important, but people need to talk to their legislators where they live.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to wrap up our conversation, but I do want to ask all three of you. I think sometimes there's this perception that nonprofit arts groups, cultural organizations, that's not really a business. They don't really have a product. Like, how do we continue to champion that in the state of Wisconsin? Because I think it's so incredibly important if we want to power recruitment and retention efforts forward. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Truly appreciate our panel being in studio this morning. Christine Hanaki, Ann Katz, and Randy Cohen talking about the importance of building healthy, vibrant arts infrastructure in the state of Wisconsin. So, Randy, as you look at the economic impact on a national level, how does it differ from state to state? And kind of give us maybe your grade on how Wisconsin's doing and where we can get to.
Well, number one, Wisconsin is a great arts state. People in this, the residents of this state, have just a whole range of cultural opportunities. So just right out of the gate, I got to say that. And the arts, though, are more than an amenity. You know, the fact is they're a business. Arts organizations are businesses that employ people, and not just artists. They employ plumbers and electricians, and they pay utility bills. Also, they generate event-related spending. You know, every time we go to an arts event, dinner, parking, babysitting. Mm-hmm. You know, right here in Milwaukee, the typical attendee spends $31.37, not including the cost of admission. It's statewide arts and culture. If you look at all the arts, 3% of the state's economy. That's not trivial.
Yeah.
Other states, though, there's a lot more investment. You know, we heard we're not even 20 cents per capita here in state investment. Just next door in Minnesota, they're over 10 bucks per capita. So you make that investment, you're not investing in a frill or an extra, you're investing in an industry that supports jobs, generates government revenue, and is a tourism driver.
Yeah, we talk about investment, economic impact as it pertains to conferences and sporting events all the time, and the dollars and cents behind it. I guess it is very much the same on a local level with arts groups. So just closing thoughts in terms of moving the ball down the court, what can people do to support the arts and talk to their legislators? Ann?
The status quo and change. You know, we bemoan the fact that we're 48 out of 50 states and the lack of public investment, but we can change that. Certainly the governor and the legislature is very interested in this conversation because they're looking for ways to keep Wisconsin healthy and vibrant and thriving. And so the more that we all collectively can get out there and contact our elected officials, make sure they hear from us, make sure they know that that there are reasons, there are good reasons to invest in this arts economy and provide opportunities, the better. So createwisconsin.org is our website, and we have lots of information about how to get involved.
Christine, got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, actionwi.org for the film incentives and the film office. If you're passionate about that, go on, email your legislator. And imaginemke.org to find the information and links to all this information. We're a great partner with Create Wisconsin and Americans for the Arts. So you can, it's a wealth of information. We ask people to get engaged.
I always say, I said at the beginning of the show, you see a pothole, make the phone call to get it fixed, right? Nobody gives you the right to stand on the sidelines. So if this is an issue you care about, get off the sidelines and make it happen.